The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. Today we're going to start a series on the subject of success. And in order to lay the groundwork for that, I'm going to read from a booklet entitled The Seven Laws of Success. This was written by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. I want to give you a little background about Mr. Armstrong. Before his death in January of 1986, Herbert W. Armstrong led a life of experience that took him from modest beginnings to diplomatic endeavors worldwide. His lifetime spanned a period that historians have termed unique. Mr. Armstrong was born in another century, the 19th, when the horse and buggy was considered the form of travel. During his youth, the idea of globe-girdling air travel and instantaneous electronic transmission were but fanciful or unheard-of dreams. A personal witness to two world wars and the development of major communication links like radio, television, and computers, he was sobered by humanity's induction into the nuclear age. Mr. Armstrong's young thoughts were molded during an age of massive industrial expansion, a time when the future seemed unlimited. Many of those thoughts are reflected in this timeless booklet, The Seven Laws of Success. Since first being written in late 1960, the principles have stood the test of time. They transcend changes in society. I'm simply reading a summation in the front inner cover of this little booklet. Now I want to go to the back. This is a quote from Winston Churchill, which he delivered to the United States Congress on December the 26th, 1941. Mr. Churchill said this, "I will say that any man must indeed have a blind soul who cannot see that some great purpose and design is being worked out here below." And there is a short commentary here that I will read that explains further what Mr. Churchill was talking about. These are not his words, however. Churchill understood that man's blood, sweat, and tears are not spent in vain. Life was not intended to be an exercise in futility, but rather a meaningful and fulfilling experience. And that's what we want to talk about as we go through the seven laws of success. How we can be successful and happy in a frustrating world. We're going to go through this series covering these seven laws or steps or principles that Mr. Armstrong developed over the years, and they have to do with success. We will cover all seven of these laws or steps or principles, and you can put them together, and you can see that when you follow all seven of them, instead of failure, success will be guaranteed. I want to start on page one and just read a few comments that Mr. Armstrong included in this booklet. These are his words. "Did it ever occur to you that there might be a reason why so many people make a failure of life? Not only men and career women, but wives and mothers too. Why are only the very few really successful? Is it mere chance? Is it just happened so? Can it be luck? Or are there definite reasons?" He goes on to say, there are definite causes. Seven basic laws govern success. And there are different headings in this little booklet. One says, you can't buy it. Some people think you can. Some people have tried to, but it never happens. I want to read now page three, breaking into a thought from Mr. Armstrong. "And I know now that no human being need ever become a failure. Failures are not foredoomed. Success does not just happen. It is governed by seven definite laws. If you know them and apply them, the happy result in the end is assured. Every individual was put on this earth for a purpose. Every person was put here to become a success. Every human ought to enjoy the sweet taste of success, to find peace and happiness, to live an interesting, secure, and abundant life. And in order that all might, if willing, reap such full and abundant rewards, the Creator set in motion actual, definite laws to produce that desired result. The tragedy is that through the centuries and millenniums, man has turned his back on those laws, those causes of the very success he craves. The world long ago ignored and forgot them. Today, most people do not know what they are. Most people have not followed a single one of the seven basic laws." Now I want to go to page eight and continue reading. Once again, breaking into a thought, he's talking about famous people who have had a measure of success but not full success, and those who have had a measure of success followed to a point some of these laws, and yet they did not have complete success. For instance, he says, Mr. Armstrong says here, for most of them, success meant the acquisition of money and material possessions and being of recognized status. That's what they were aiming for. On page 11 now, let's read this. Their goal in life, their definition of success, was material acquisition, recognition of status by society, and the passing enjoyment of the five senses. But the more they acquired, the more they wanted, and the less satisfied they became with what they had. When they got it, it was never enough. There are many names we could mention that fit that description. All right, let's turn over here to page 12 now, and we'll read under the heading, Is Poverty Virtue? Is Ignorance Bliss? Look now for a moment, Mr. Armstrong says, at the other side of the coin. If the rich have not been happy, what about the poor? Is money, after all, the root of all evil? Must we take a vow of poverty to become successful? And if the highly educated have not found happiness, must we accept the adage that, quote, ignorance is bliss, end quote, after all? And of course, he points out that poverty is not virtue, ignorance is not bliss. That doesn't bring happiness or success either. All accomplishments are not success as well. Some people think, well, as long as I accomplish great things, that certainly is success. In essence, that defines success. No, all accomplishment is not success either. He makes that plain over here in the book, and he points out several examples of people who have accomplished many, many things, gone many, many places, and experienced life to the full in terms of what life has to offer, and yet they cannot really be described or cannot really be defined as truly successful people because they were not happy. They did not really achieve great things that helped other people. In the truest sense, accomplishment alone does not mean being successful. I want to turn now to page 18 and read quite a bit here on page 18 and 19. Mr. Armstrong writes, what then is the first law of success? Before starting even the first law, let it be said that I am not considering here such general principles of character as honesty, patience, loyalty, courtesy, dependability, punctuality, etc., except as these are automatically included in the seven rules. We may assume that one cannot become a real success without these principles of right character. But on the other hand, many are honest who have never practiced a single one of the seven laws specifically. Many may be loyal, have patience, extend courtesy, be punctual, who are unsuccessful because they have not applied a single one of these seven definite, specific rules. Even so, each of these laws covers a vast territory. Here, then, is the first law of success. Fix the right goal. I repeat, fix the right goal. Not just any goal. Most of the successful men I have mentioned had goals. They drove themselves relentlessly to accomplishment. But making money, gaining status in the eyes of people, enjoying the passing pleasures of the five senses, has literally strewn the pathway of history with fears, worries, heartaches, troubled consciences, sorrows, frustrations, empty lives, and death. These things may be had and enjoyed along with true success. Keep that in mind. These things may be had and enjoyed along with true success, but they alone do not bring success. The right goal includes something more. In other words, the very first law of success is to be able to define success. Once you have learned what success is, make that your goal in life. And we can break that down into other goals that feed into and tie into that goal of moving toward being successful. Continuing now with what Mr. Armstrong wrote here, do you know that most people go on through life without any goal at all? In fact, most people, as I've said before, do not know and do not apply a single one of the seven laws of success. Most people never think of having any purpose in life. They're not going anywhere in particular. If you have saved up money for a trip to Paris or Rome or London for your vacation or holiday, you spend a lot of time in excited anticipation planning your trip. But you do have a definite destination, and all plans are laid to take you to that particular destination, that goal. You know where you're planning to go. Otherwise, would you ever expect to arrive there? As I said once before, most people have no aim. They are merely the victims of circumstance. They never plan purposely to be in the job or occupation in which they find themselves today. They do not live where they do by choice. That is, because they planned it that way. They have merely been buffeted around by circumstance. They have allowed themselves to drift. They have made no effort to master and control circumstances. The first law of success, I repeat, is to fix the right goal, not any goal. One could set a goal in which he had little or no interest and drift into inaction. The right goal will arouse ambition. Ambition is more than mere desire. It is desire plus incentive, determination, will to achieve the desire. The right goal will be so intensely desired it will excite vigorous and determined effort. It will fire one with incentive. There should be an overpowering purpose to life. Few have ever known such purpose. Well, I just wanted to lay the groundwork for going into this topic by bringing some information to you regarding the author of this little book, Mr. Herbert Armstrong, and then going into some of the fundamental points that he makes leading up to the basic seven laws of success. And today we're going to discuss the first one, and that is fixing the right goal. Now, I want to also emphasize that it is vitally important to realize that these seven laws or principles of success apply to physical success, but they also apply to spiritual success. And they apply throughout life for anyone and everyone. And so we can all listen up and we can all learn and grow as a result of this knowledge if we will just do so. I want to ask a question right here. Can you write down, right now, can you write down your number one goal in life? The main objective that you are moving toward? Do you have an aim, a target, or a destination that you want to go to in your life? If you do, what is it? Can you define the single most important thing you are vigorously working toward to accomplish and to achieve? Now, most people can't. Most people just don't know how to do that or don't take the time to do that, or they are not interested in doing that. They just let life happen to them rather than make things happen in their lives. They just take one day at a time. They enjoy even bragging about, oh, I just live and let live. I take it as it comes. It's just one day at a time. I'm not going to really focus my attention and my effort on any one thing, on any one objective. I'm just going to take it as it comes. Well, people who take that approach are not really enjoying the success in life that was intended for them to enjoy. In order to really have the fulfilling, successful life that God wants all of us to have, both physically and spiritually, we have to understand the laws that lead to that success and get in line with them. And the very first one of those laws is to fix the right goal. Now, let's discuss some physical goals that you might consider. Of course, you could make the list a lot longer than this, but this ought to give you an idea of what we're talking about when we say fix the right goal and just talk about in terms of our physical lives. And there are spiritual components to these as well. Perhaps you would like to have a happy marriage, maybe a marriage that is as happy as it could be. Maybe that is going to be your number one focal point in life, to really have a happy marriage for you and your mate. Well, write that down and begin thinking about that and begin focusing on that. Maybe as a student, you want to make as your number one goal to do well in grammar school and then high school and go on to college and do well there and graduate with a degree and with high honors and then go into a career that will be very rewarding. And so therefore, your main goal in life is to be an excellent student and to do well in school. Not just drift through school, but really accomplish things in school. And so your goal is to achieve great success in education. Maybe one of your goals is to launch a business or a company, something that is your own company, your own organization, your own business. Maybe you've always wanted to do this. And so you set that as your goal and you set out to achieve that. Maybe you have problems with your health. You might be getting a little older, and so you want to improve your health. And so one of the aims in life is, I'm going to start feeling better. I'm going to start having less pain. I'm going to be more active. I want to have robust health, and I want to make that as a goal in life. Here's one that several might want to consider. Maybe instead of wallowing around in endless debt that gets worse and worse and the bills get higher and higher, maybe you want to decide, I want to get out of debt. I want to settle my financial situation so that I am debt-free. Or at least I could manage my debt until I'm debt-free. Did you know that if you hone your aim and you settle on that as a goal and you say, my main goal in life at this point is to become completely debt-free, then you can succeed in that if you decide to do it. I used to listen to a famous radio personality by the name of Earl Nightingale. Maybe you remember him, and I remember one time driving late at night with the radio on, he made a statement I've never forgotten. This is a paraphrase, but in essence, this is what he said. The thing you feel most passionate about determines what you will do and decides what you will become. It defines you. Now, do you feel passionate about anything? I mean, do you really have strong feelings about any one thing? If you set the right goal and you become passionate about achieving that goal, you're going to end up being much more successful at reaching that objective. And if you think about what Earl Nightingale said here, just check that out and see if it isn't true. In essence, he said, the thing that you feel the most passionate about is what you will end up doing, and it is what you will end up becoming. It decides, determines, and defines what you will do and what you become. And I think if you really think that through, you will realize that he was right in that statement. Now, the goal you set could end up being a wrong goal. You don't want to do that. There are people who feel very passionate about wrong goals and causes, not only individually, but nationally and internationally. And disaster and catastrophe ends up being the result. If we set the wrong goal, we're going to go in the wrong direction, and we're going to end up in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. We don't want to do that. You know, music is fun to listen to if you can find some good music, and country music quite often, especially several years ago, used to be rather interesting, including some of the things that were said. And on this subject of setting wrong goals or settling for less or being in hot pursuit of mediocrity, you could hear some lyrics that describe that. I may have this wrong, but as I remember it, I heard a song one time on a country music station that said, life is all about this, faster horses, younger women, older whiskey, and more money. And that's it. I mean, if you can have that, you have achieved the pinnacle of success, according to that song. Now, there are people who think that way. Faster horses or cars, younger women, older whiskey or any kind of alcohol, and more money or possessions. But you know what? That doesn't really bring happiness. It doesn't really bring fulfillment. It does not really bring success. I remember another song that was number one years ago, sung by a man who was an excellent singer and musician. It went like this. Live fast, love hard, die young, and leave a beautiful memory. Something like that. Live fast, love hard, die young, and leave a beautiful memory. And that's the essence of life. There's more to life than that. One other lyric that I like that I try to remember from time to time went like this. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Well, what do you stand for in this matter of success, in this matter of life, in this matter of achievement, in this matter of trying to really make something out of your life that will help other people, that will help those around you, and that will be very fulfilling for you personally? I want to go to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 in the Bible regarding success and regarding choosing the right goal. It's important to choose the right goal. Notice here in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It can seem right, sound right, look right. You may have people standing around telling you it's right, it's the thing to do, it just feels right, but be totally wrong. You have to be careful. You don't want to choose the wrong goal. If you choose the wrong goal, you're not going to be successful, and neither am I, neither is anyone. We have to aim and choose and settle on the right goal. Otherwise, look what this verse says. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof, disaster. Failure. The end thereof are the ways of death. Over here, just a page or two in this same book of Proverbs, we read in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He's convinced of it. And if you listen to the news and read the news and watch the news and look at events around you, you know that the world is full of fools who think they're right. But let's finish this verse. But he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. So in choosing the right goal and fixing the right goal, what we need to do is get the facts, we need to consider the end, we need to weigh the options, and we need to get good hearty counsel from people we respect that have some wisdom and some good things that we can depend on in the way of advice. And then we end up going down the right path toward the right goal to achieve success rather than going down the wrong path to failure and even oblivion. Now, I want to continue on this subject of the right goal, and I want to discuss the spiritual aspect of this subject. The right goal that we choose needs to be realistic, not pie-in-the-sky, daydreaming kind of fantasy things, but a realistic goal, a worthwhile goal that will grip us and excite us and inspire us to really extend ourselves and to put forth our very best energy, talent, and effort to achieve the objective that we put out there in front of us. That's when life is really exciting. That's when life is really satisfying. And that's when we really get some good things done. You've probably set out on a job or set out on a project that was really worthwhile, and you keep working hard at it and continuing at it. And through all adversity, somehow or the other, you manage to just finish it up. And then it's done. And you look back and it's very satisfying. Oh, I know, it could have been tough, there could have been setbacks, there could have been pain, there could have been unexpected interruptions, etc., but somehow or the other, you got back at it and you finished it all the way through, whether it was on the farm building a fence, or in the office finishing a paper, or in school wrapping up a big project. Somehow or the other, you're able to keep on going until you finally finish and you look back and think, boy, I'll tell you, that was tough, it was hard, but it was worth it. Look at the good that's going to come out of this, and it was very satisfying to start out on something worthwhile and finish it all the way through to the end and accomplish the mission and achieve the goal. That is a wonderful, happy thing to do. Well, there are laws that govern that kind of success, and they also apply spiritually. Let's go through a few examples of goals we might set in our lives spiritually, and you can add to this list. Perhaps you want to decide, look, I want to turn my life around. I want to begin to be closer to God. I want to walk with God. I want Him to be number one in my life. That would be an outstanding goal to aim for. Another one would be this. Read through the whole Bible. Start in Genesis, go all the way through the end of the book of Revelation. Maybe you've done that before. Maybe it's time to do that again. You can set out on a plan to where you read so many chapters every day and you can get through the whole Bible in a year or two. What a tremendous goal that would be. Be very, very worthwhile. You might run into some sections of the Bible that it's not plain to you, you don't understand, that raises questions, just write those questions down. You can come to those later. Don't bog down. Keep moving, keep moving. If you go all the way through, then you'll have things in context and everything will fall into place better if you take the Bible as a whole. That's an excellent goal to set out in front of you in your spiritual life. Maybe another goal would be to get more fully involved in the church. Make sure it's the right church. Be careful. Prove all things. But maybe you want to now make your life more meaningful and more fulfilling by getting more involved in the church. Maybe another goal would be to get rid of grudges that you might be carrying. So many people get consumed with grudges and with hard feelings and with hate. Somebody might have done them wrong, or some event or circumstances might have left scars, and so that starts to trap them. That starts to define them. Their day is decided by how many grudges they have against other people. And if they happen to meet that individual, or that individual calls them, what was a good day is now turned into a bad day. So instead of having a wonderful day, their day now is miserable. And who decided that? The person they're carrying a grudge toward. Maybe one very important spiritual goal we could have is to get rid of every grudge we might carry toward anyone else. Everything we haven't forgiven somebody for. It doesn't mean you agree with what they did to you. It doesn't mean what they did to you isn't wrong. It just means you're not going to carry it around for the rest of your life, like a monkey on your back, like excess baggage that weighs you down. Instead, you're going to shake those grudges off, you're going to put them in God's hands, and you're going to move on through life. What a noble and worthwhile goal it would be to expunge those grudges from your life and replace them with forgiveness, spiritually speaking. Last one that I have on my list, and the list could be much longer. Maybe there's a bad habit you have. Maybe there's a sin. Maybe there's a mistake. Maybe there's something you do that you know you shouldn't do, but you end up doing it. And when it happens, it creates problems. It complicates things. And you wish you didn't do that. You wish you didn't think that way. You wish you wouldn't say that. You wish you wouldn't go there. You know, if you set yourself a goal and you focus on that goal of getting rid of whatever that might be, that habit, that mistake, that weakness, and you set that as a goal and you become passionate about it and determined about it, and you lay out a plan to accomplish that goal, you can be successful at getting rid of that problem. And you then will have life more abundant and more fulfilling, because now that's gone, that problem, that habit, that weakness, that downfall that you may have been battling most of your life. So we need to set our eye on whatever goal that we determine we want to achieve in our life, be it a physical goal or a spiritual goal, and sometimes they intertwine. Set our eye on that goal like a laser beam. Lock into it. Make it the bullseye that we're aiming for. Take aim and hold a steady, steady, steady beam right on that target. Set the compass on the right heading and don't let anything shake you from that objective. That's the first law of success, setting the right goal, setting the right objective, and passionately pursuing it. I want to turn to one other scripture over here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 25. Notice what the Bible says here in Proverbs 4 and verse 25. Let your eyes look right on, let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Verse 27. What an excellent passage that points out that when we set the right goal out in front of us and we lock onto it, we need to keep right on moving right toward that goal, looking right on. It says in verse 25, let your eyes look right on, let your eyelids look straight before you, ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Don't be diverted, don't be distracted, don't be pulled off over in the backwater and start dog paddling around in a bunch of junk and confusion and complications. No, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Keep right on the path. Press forward relentlessly, irrepressibly, and undaunted. Don't let anything shake you from that path as you move toward that goal that you have set that is the right goal, physically and spiritually. And if you do that, you're going to have success in achieving what you've set out to achieve, if it's the right thing. So we'll talk more about this subject as time goes along. It's one of the most important subjects I can think of that we need to cover in this day and age. And so we're going to keep coming back to this subject of success and going through these seven laws of success. But today we wanted to start with the first one. Consider it and decide on it and determine to do it. Set the right goal and then with all your might, go for that. If you would like to have our free magazine, Straightforward, please call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. There's no charge or subscription price. This is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.